So, I think talking about full subject-based banding, obviously there are some obvious benefits with which you've already touched on, the mixing between kids in class and of course allowing kids to take subjects at a higher level if they're good at it, and then they don't have to struggle, I think, with higher level subjects if they
According to
can't.
their respective needs.
Precisely. But so what are some of the more less obvious benefits of full subject-based banding?
Well, I think there is a larger cultural shift that we want to achieve from full subject-based banding, and that is respect. Respect for each other's diverse capabilities, rather than to pigeonhole people by a very simple matrix. You are good, you are no good. I think we are all good at something, we are all not so good at certain other things. And every different child has a different profile, different gifts, different abilities. And we want people to have that diversity of strengths. We want people to respect that diversity of abilities. And that, I think, in time to come, will make our society a much more inclusive, much more heartwarming society because we appreciate people for what they have rather than to, if you like, pigeonhole people into broad categories that doesn't help us to appreciate their diverse strengths. And then it gives confidence to the people with the diverse strengths to say that I can always make a contribution. Even if I'm poor, it doesn't mean that I'm helpless. Even if I'm not good at math, it doesn't mean that I'm not good at everything and everything else. It just means that I must play to my strength, and I want all our students to understand their strengths and weaknesses. So I have one favorite question that I always ask my school children when I meet them. I say that regardless of your grades, I want to know, do you know what makes you special? I want every child to know that they have something special in them and they can use whatever that they have been gifted with to make a contribution to society.
Just now, I think you mentioned a part of long-term policy is knowing how to. It's not immediate outcomes, right? So this outcome of respecting diversity and helping all the kids play to their strengths, I think is a good way to put it. Is that an outcome that this policy intended for, and what in the past led to this
Well, it
decision?
started with a story whereby we try to customize, but we also want to make the customizations more fine-grained. And that is why we keep seeking to improve on our system. Maybe I take a step back and I share with you what I always say is the challenge of any public education system. In any conventional public education system throughout history across the world has what I call this trilemma. How do you achieve quality? How do you at scale? How do you achieve speed of innovation, relevance, and yet affordability? Conventional education system across the world and across history, if you have quality and you are fast, chances are that it's going to be expensive, which means that it's not likely to be scalable. If you are fast and you are affordable, chances are the quality not so good. And if you have quality and you are affordable, chances are that you can't scale. So there has always been a dilemma or trilemma in education system. And as parents and as teachers, we all want to be able to customize according to needs of our child. So when we say a simple thing, to bring out the best in every child, it's easy to say, but not so easy to do. Because to bring out the best in every child, we truly need to understand the strengths of every child and then to build on those strengths and to have a learning program according to his or her unique needs. Then the question we challenge ourselves is, can we break this trilemma? And if so, how? It's just like a lot of people talk about reducing class size. I always challenge ourselves, why just reduce class size? Can you reduce class size to a class size of one, whereby the curriculum is so customized to the individual? Now that sounds like the holy grail of an education system, right? To achieve quality at scale, speed, and affordability. But today, better than any time in history, we have a chance to do that. And we are moving in that direction to mass customize. Because today, with technology, data science, and even AI, we can better customize according to the needs of every child. We can take a leaf from how the gaming world is doing this. When they do gamification, everybody plays game to the level. And you keep practicing at that level until you move on to the next level. Same concept, we ask ourselves, can this be applied to the education system? And the answer is yes. And if we can do that, then we can use our finite resources to really cater our teaching resources and time to the high-need students to help them to achieve things that the computers and the AI can do. So I give some tangible examples. Today, if we do math, there's no point teaching to the average of the whole class. Some students are better, some students are weaker. But when you allow them to interact with the computers and the computers can generate problem sums for them according to different standards and ability, then you are almost like playing a game and you go according to your respective abilities. Even something for languages, as simple as learning to pronounce words or learning to read a passage, there are commercially available programs already in the market that allows you to read a passage, give you feedback on your pronunciation, test your understandings, and then come up with a new passage to try to stretch you a bit to the next level. So if you like, these are what we call mass customizations. In the past, we have applied some of these technologies to our special needs students, but actually the same technology can be applied across to many other students. So we think that today, better than any time in history, we have the chance to mass customize according to the needs of our students. Then we break this paradigm and move away from this thing about class size. Today, we already have varying class sizes. The higher need students have smaller class sizes, whereas those who are much more independent can adopt some of this technology. But I want to add a word of caution. MOE is not about to deploy technology universally, because different students take to technology differently. Back of envelope, rough rule of thumb, we know that the high-ability students will adapt to technology much faster, and the technology will be able to help them to stretch more. The high-need students, we don't always start with high-tech. We start with what we call high-touch. We need to build the relationship for them to have a stable environment, for them to trust the people who are interacting with them before we talk about the high-tech. Now, with more load being able to be complemented by these technological resources to complement our teaching resources, then we can apply our teaching time and resources to really focus on the higher need students, not just higher needs in terms of academics, but could be higher needs in terms of their social-emotional development.
Minister, sorry, can I just quickly go back to full subject-based banding before we move off? I'm sure MOE tracks the outcome of educational policies. At this point in time, you know, are there any... Is it too early to tell the outcome, or are there things that we are seeing that shows that we are in the right direction?
There are already things that we are seeing. First, we are seeing that people mix around much more. They have a wider group of friends of different abilities, and they are starting to respect the diversity of strengths, the diversity of abilities, and I think that makes for a much more inclusive society. So that's one. The second thing is that many more students are now able to say that if I'm good at this subject and I want to take it at a higher level, I have the opportunity to do so, so I can strive. So if I want to go from G2 to G3, I can do so. But we have to be careful. We don't want a situation whereby the parents keep telling the kid that you must always strive for the G3, regardless of your interests and abilities. We want to work with parents to say that we must understand the strengths and weaknesses and the interests and passion of our children so that we put them in the appropriate classes. So we are seeing this. But to answer your question fully, it does mean that it takes up more resources from MOE because it's a huge logistic exercise to try to mass customize, having people go to different classes according to their abilities. So that is the part that we are committed to do for our children. And then we will also need some children to be much more independent because this model of learning is closer to what we do in JCs and universities where you might have gaps in the days whereby not all your classes are back-to-back. There are pros and cons of it. The pros that you take a break, you do some self-initiated learning or you go and do your own thing or you just take a break. But some people will think that why do you have gaps in schools and then what do they do in between, right? So actually it is also an opportunity for us to inculcate in our students this self-directed learning because if we go back to the 15 years versus the 50 years, what we want to see is our students' ability and zest to learn on their own without somebody hovering over them and telling them what to do. So I always like to ask my student this question. I say that, tell me something that you have learned on your own that your teacher never taught you and your parents never asked you to go for classes. Because it really shows whether the students have this innate desire to learn. And when we do full SBB, you have greater variety of programming. It also gives the students the confidence to say that I can pursue my interest areas which may not be the conventional or mainstream. And I think we are seeing some green shoots of such attitude, but we are under no illusion that it's a long journey for us to get into this culture as a society, to respect the diversity of strengths and to play to our strengths, and to move away, very importantly, to move away from this relativist mindset, which means that I look at myself, not whether I'm doing well or not, but I look at myself whether I'm doing well with respect to others, because that can be quite demoralizing. Actually, many of our students are very good. I mean, just to sidetrack, if you look at our PISA score or you look at our trends in mathematics and science scores, 80% of our students are above the global average. There is absolutely no reason why our students should feel down or out. But if we keep making our students compare themselves with one another, then in this relativist mindset, there's always a winner and loser. Our real relativity is not between our own students in our own system. Many of them are above the global average. But our real relativity is how do we, as a system, how do we, on average, our students, perform with the rest of the world. And we need to keep moving that along.
So you mentioned like things like intangible traits like attitudes, desire to learn. Do you expect this to translate into academic results? Like, is it an expected outcome or is something that, you know?
I think it is not just about academic results. There's another thing that MOE is doing now is what we call learn more, test less. So when we say academic results, there are two parts to it. One is just academic. We want to go beyond academics where people have a diversity of strengths, including academics, not that academics is not important, but also other strengths, life skills, soft skills, the ability to connect. Because in a more fragmented world, the ability to connect, the ability to build bridges, the ability to create something new and not just answer yesterday's question with yesterday's answer. These are important skill sets for us to have. So I think, so it's just beyond academic. And the other one is beyond results. You see, there's this saying that not everything important in life can be measured, and we don't want to just make important what we can measure. So we must be careful when we say we measure. When we measure, if we do it positively, it can spur people to the next level. But if we measure and we keep thinking of this as a sorting mechanism to compare ourselves relative to others, then it can be quite negative. So when we say results, actually we want to move beyond this thing about comparing ourselves with one another. The results is not for comparison. The results is more for us to better understand ourselves so that in the next step of our learning journey, we are sited in a more appropriate environment. Not an environment whereby we are the smallest fish in the shark pond, whereby we are struggling to keep up, or the other way, where I am just the bored person in class because I have already known all this and my level is different. So I think right-siting the student in the next step of his or her learning journey is the most important outcome of that results rather than relativist comparison.